141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening, welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust begins to settle on Scotland's Euro qualification campaign. It's still 8 months away, but attention already turning to Germany in the summer. Who should be on the plane? Who's nailed on? Who's still got something to prove? Who's a wild card pick and who's got no chance? We're only a week and a half away though from finding out which teams stand between Steve Clark's side and Euro Championship glory. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Jim Duffy and Gordon DL, who's no well. He's feeling a bit under the weather, but you're here like the soldier you are, and we'll get through it together until 8 o'clock.
I can't let MD down, Gordon. That's just the kind of guy I am. I know there's people putting their dinner on just now, thinking the Dazzler's
on. You don't sound great, I must say.
I've got to go and listen to him. I've a bit of a sore head and sore throat.
Well, no, I just meant generally. Honestly, we'll see him through it, Jim. We'll be all right.
Listen,
we'll get there.
You know, we'll be treating him with tenderness and care as he deserved. But, you know, again, after the international break and the games that Scotland had, a thrilling match, you know, the other night, FC against Norway, 3-3. That's the kind of game, really, you want. Plenty of excitement, given the Tartan Army, plenty of cheer. A wee bit of frustration, obviously, losing the late equaliser. But nevertheless, back to the domestic football this week. Both of the big clubs have been on a good run of form, and they'll be looking to continue that again this weekend coming up.
I've got to say, I enjoyed the international break. You know what, the games were exciting. You're right, Jim, I thought we had it in the bag the other night there. Second half played a lot better. Mm-hmm. Gordon's come out with a question. There's what, 23 that go to Germany? I think people will start to really be looking over their shoulders. They'll be desperate to go on that plane.
I thought you were going to say you enjoyed the international break because it meant a Saturday night in the city centre for you. But you actually were going to link it to the football. Good on you. You're maturing in your 60s.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a night. I'm past
was it a
that.
Day? Was it a day sesh?
It was a little afternoon.
Okay,
one, yeah.
Good. And is that anything to do with why you're feeling under the weather? Unrelated, would we say?
Can you hear me okay?
Well, I can hear you fine. Just you go and sort your mic out. 01419511025. That is the number you need. Yes, it's probably a bit of a quiet day in Scottish football, but the dust is settling slowly on that Euro qualification campaign. Last night, it was very much about looking back on the campaign, the standout moments, the standout players, the unsung heroes, the best results, the best goals. What about looking forward a little bit? If we made you pick tonight, if you were Steve Clark and you had to decide right now on those 23 players, who would be in it? Who are the ones that are nailed on? Who are the ones that are maybe somewhere in the middle, got a bit of work to do? Who are the ones that you think have got no chance and should be left out? And who are the ones you think can play their way into Steve Clark's plans? Who would your wild card picks, if any, be? I know there is a lot of consistency in the squad, but 23 is not an easy number for Steve Clark. He'll have a few sleepless nights. So why don't we all club together and help him along? If you could pick your 23, who would they be? Now, I appreciate that you might not, I'm not suggesting you have to come on the phone and shout 23 names at us, or if you're going to tweet it, you have to write down all 23. But give us an overview, you know, the ones that are nailed on, the ones you think still up for debate, the ones that you think have no chance, and any that you think maybe could play their way in to Steve Clark's thoughts. 01419511025, or Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it, at Clyde SSB. Get in touch with all your suggestions. We would be delighted to have them. And I did say this last night, I know it's a kind of out of sight, out of mind for some people, but maybe you're ready to start turning your attentions back to the domestic action. We are here for you if that's the case. If you've got something you want to get off your chest, 01419511025. Five. That is the number you need. It was weird for the international break to finish in such straightforward fashion. All the hard work done, just have a nice little celebration in the dark at Hampden.
Yeah, and also not, you know, frustrated and looking back about the disappointments. You know, I think that by and large, the performance levels were very good. The consistency was excellent. And, you know, to finish, you know, where we did do, I think was a terrific achievement, and it's great to go to back-to-back European championships, and, you know, it's something that we hadn't done for such a long time. And I think there is a sense of optimism about the national side just now, and all credit to Stevie Clark and his staff for, you know, helping to develop that, and all credit to the players. And I think particularly I think the last couple of games have been very difficult games, obviously two draws, but you know, we had a significant number of key players missing, and I think that tells you the togetherness in the squad. Not maybe the exact same quality in the squad, but there is that that kind of work ethic and you know, desire and determination, and I think all these qualities should never be underestimated.
Let's hear from a couple of Scotland players who've spoken in the aftermath of that game, and I think these two are very, I think they're interestingly placed. Let's say that, because you can decide, you the listener, you two in the studio. I don't know which list you'll have these guys on, but I think they're, I don't think either of them would fall into the nailed on, absolutely, definitely going with all, without all doubt, category. So let's hear from Xander Clark, because he heads back to Hearts looking to book his place in Scotland's Euro squad for Germany. Now, of course, there is this added issue of Craig Gordon potentially returning. What would that mean for club and country? But here's what Xander Clark had to say after starting the last two matches.
Obviously, it's been a massive achievement, a proud moment. Obviously, it's down to myself now to go back to club level and you know, try and put in performances that keep the manager thinking that I should be at it. It's been a great experience. I've loved every minute of it. You know, can I go back to club level and put in performances that keep myself in the manager's thoughts? If you get yourself in the squad, then, you know, you just need to train hard and see what happens.
What about Ryan Jack as well? He again says he's going to have Euro 2024 thoughts at the back of his mind as he prepares to return to Rangers.
For sure we'll be going to the tournament a lot more experienced and very optimistic. Probably never went how we wanted it to go the last tournament, so there'll be a lot of reflection on that, and hopefully we can rectify that and put it right for this one. Yeah, I think that comes with obviously belief and confidence of getting results, and the group that's been together, it's the same core from obviously the last qualification, so we're in a great place at the minute, but we just need to keep that going. We all go back to our clubs. There's obviously a lot of football for our clubs to be played. It's always in the back of your mind that you're never going to just forget about what we've just achieved, so it's going to give everyone motivation to go play well, play consistent for the club, and do everything you can to be a part of it.
Right, come on then. As it stands, who is in your 23? Let's put these two in the spot, and I'm sure you're going to disagree with them because that's kind of what they're here for. Just those two names, interesting. Xander Clark, is he on your list?
It would depend on Craig Gordon for me. If Xander Clark can go back to Hearts,
can he have independent? He's on your list, or he's not
on
your list?
Hold on, I'm going to make a point here. If Xander Clark goes back to Hearts and loses his number one jersey to Craig Gordon, then I don't think he's on the list. So there's a challenge to be thrown down there. Craig Gordon is a very experienced goalkeeper, terrific goalkeeper. Xander Clark's done all right. If Craig Gordon takes the number one jersey off him again at Tynecastle, I don't see him going.
Okay, Ryan Jack on your list?
No, I think Ryan Jack will just miss out.
Are you able to give me a 23?
Yeah, I've got a good.
Go on then.
I've got it all written down on my phone.
Go on then.
Do you want it?
See, absolutely. Right. Why not? I mean, you can run through them quick.
He's going to need to tell us the goalkeepers now, though.
Right, okay. I do like to keep him on his toes, but I must admit I've got a bit of sympathy because that one is maybe difficult to answer, but I'm not letting you off with the rest.
Right, okay, so you look at your three goalkeepers. I'm going Hickey, Patterson, Henry, Portes.
No, wait a minute, who's your three goalies?
Tierney, hold on. Tierney, McKenna and Robertson. They're my defenders.
Right, no Cooper, backs. No Suter.
He's on the pine. He's
no
he's,
Greg Taylor.
Just
checking you.
Right, okay. Middle of the park, I think, speaks for itself because you've got the favourites in there as well. You've got McGregor, Gilmore, McGinn, McTominay, Ferguson, Armstrong, McLean. You're happy with that?
Well, they're just nailed on, aren't they? Every one of them.
Nailed on.
So no Ryan Jack?
Not just yet.
Okay.
Up front, Dykes, Adams, Shanklin's a must for me, and obviously Christie, right?
So how many was that? 20?
That's 21.
One. Okay.
So my contenders, Cooper, Hanley, Suter, Taylor, Jack, Jacob Brown, young Ben Doak. This could be a good question one tonight, because Ben Doak, as much as he's not been involved, right, he's young. I think he brings something different to the party. Would you have him in, Jim?
This is all great, but I'm asking you to pick. You've got two more spots.
I'm going to go.
You've got two more seats
I'm
in
going
the plane.
To, I'm going to take young Doak because I think he brings something different.
Okay.
I think you'll need something different. We don't have that sort of player in the squad. And I'm going to take Hanley because I think Hanley deserves to go in the plane.
Okay, so that's no Ryan Jack.
No, that's my 23.
No Greg Taylor, no Liam Cooper.
No, I've looked at it, for instance, of Greg Taylor, who's been brilliant for Celtic, never let him do down. You've got Tierney that can play left back. You've got Hickey that can go over to left back. You've got the captains there. So you're just taking another left back for the sake of it. Listen, they will all be desperate to get a ticket on that plane, and they'll certainly be doing everything they can from now until the squad's picked. But I think there's 21 nailed on there, and I think there's a two surplus, mm-hmm. and my two is Hanley.
There's only two?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hanley and Doak for me.
You don't have to give us them all, Jim. Where do you differ from him then, if that's...
Just a little bit, not much. I've got Christie in the midfield area, but just in terms of strikers, I've got Adams, Dyche, Shanklin, Brown and Doak. So I think to take an extra striker, I think that, there's going to be times where, you know, we'll be up against it. It'll be tight. Mm-hmm. We may have to chase the game.
So is Christie in with your
Christie's
midfielders?
In my midfielder.
So who else? Jack is out
at this moment. I know Jack wasn't in Gordon's. So I've got Armstrong, McGregor, McGinn, McTominay, Gilmer, McLean and Christie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, as Gordon says, listen, you've got Suter, I've got Cooper in. Defensively, you've got Suter, you've got Hanley. Listening to Ryan Jack as well, there are elements where I think that having previous experience in the last tournament in England would be invaluable. You know, you've been there.
That's
you've
true.
Understand. You know how it, you know the demands of playing these type of games in a short period of time and the preparation which required being away, all these sort of things. So I think there is elements there, but you know, so we can argue, and that argument will continue right through until Steve Clarke announces his squad, and then after that there'll be even more argument and debate about it. And that's the nature. I've went for Gunn, Clarke and Kelly as the goalkeepers. I just can't see, personally, I can't see how Craig Gordon will be able to force himself into that at the age of 40 years of age. That's, I mean, as wonderful a goalkeeper he is and as top professional he is, I just think it would just be too much to ask.
Right, come on then. By the sounds of it, according to these two, there are debates to be had in goal. There are debates to be had over Lauren Shanklin, debates to be had over Ben Doak, maybe guys like Ryan Jack, Greg Taylor. These are the ones that, according to Jim and Gordon, are on the periphery. These are the ones that still we don't quite know if the ticket is going to be booked in their name for Germany. So what do you think? Let's bring in Chris, who's made it through tonight. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not bad. What are you thinking of this squad at the moment?
Yeah, I just think it's been like a really good campaign. It just feels very different, just like progressively got better and sort of learned lessons from the past. And I guess my point is it just sort of feels like we've got better representation of like different clubs fitting into the Scotland shirt. And I'm just thinking about in the past when we've had like a lot of the classic Old Firm players. And I'm just wondering if like that rivalry in the past is kind of, even if it's unintentional, kind of played a part in basically the performances. Sort of just thinking about the England team and had Scholes, Lampard, Gerrard and all these key players representing big clubs. But for whatever reason, they just couldn't do it on the pitch. I sort of just reflect back and I think like the Scotland team had a kind of similar issue. And I was just to get your guys' thoughts. If you think that's
a good question. I've thought about it before. I mean, we don't have, you know, some people would say that it doesn't matter. You go away for Scotland, you're all teammates anyway. Yeah. And we don't really have that. There's not loads of Celtic and Rangers players in the squad. Chris thinks better off maybe. Is that anything in that?
I think Chris looks at it actually over the decades. I don't think that's ever been the case. It's been, there might have been, you know, a small time where there's been more significant, but even if you get hark back to the halcyon days of Scottish football, if you want to call it that, be back in the 60s and 70s, I don't think that there was a huge, I mean, it's always been a well spread out group of players, as it should be, you know.
The sort of McLeish Smith era would have had quite a lot, would it not? If you think sort of Davey Weir, Chris Boyd, Kenny Miller, Stephen McManus. And by the way, I'm not saying these guys didn't go on at all. It's just to make Chris's point.
You might have a few, but I genuinely don't think that there's got any part to play in whether you're successful or you're unsuccessful. What Steve Clarke has done is he's got a group that got on well with each other, that bond, and you know, both on the pitch and off the pitch. and there just seems to be a really good balance about the squad. And I don't think for 1 minute you look and think. I think the game has changed, so there are more players from different nationalities involved at our top level now. So I think that's part of the reason, whereas maybe that wasn't the case.
Because their squads, will just evolve. I think would it have been towards the end of Strachan's era? You could be talking, Kieran Tierney, Scott Brown, Stuart Armstrong, Lee Griffiths, Craig Gordon. There was a time when the team was heavily Celtic. For no reason other than Celtic squad have evolved, and they've got guys from Japan, and Matt O'Reilly played for Denmark last night as an example.
Yeah, I'm with Jim. I don't see really that's making any difference. I think we've just landed, would you say, lucky here that Steve Clarke's been able to mould these guys into having great chemistry on and off the pitch with each other, and they just look like a bunch of guys that love playing together. They're willing to win, be successful. They're doing the country proud, and I just think it's all about timing and everybody getting brought together. And you look at the amount of players that we've now got in the Scotland squad that are playing at a very top level.
Chris, are most of the guys that have been in the squad, are they nailed on for the Euros? What about some of the ones that are up for grabs, like the guys have been debating? Any thoughts on who should or shouldn't go?
Yeah, I like the idea of Doak. I think he sort of brings something a bit different, and the fact he's young, he's quite exciting. I think maybe that's something that we've not kind of got up front, but it's hard because like there'll be a lot of loyalty, a lot of the players that's kind of got us to this point, which makes sense. And of course, we've just got so many goals in the team from like midfield, McTominay, McGinn. I don't know, it's difficult. I don't know if we necessarily need a Shanklin or a Doak to carry us when we've got goals in other areas, but I think we do need like that as an option. So I'd be like more kind of lined up for them to sort of be brought on.
Who's in that TBC bracket? Lauren Shankland, where is he for you? What about Ryan Jack? There were a couple of names that the guys have mentioned. Where are they?
Yeah, I think Shankland has to go. He's a natural goal scorer. I think he's somebody where even if he doesn't start, you can sort of bring him on and he could basically potentially keep you in the sort of the tie and whatnot. I'm not sure about Jack. I think probably domestically, probably has to sort of cement his place a little bit more, get a little bit more play time. I think there's probably people ahead of him in terms of the starting lineup. But maybe a good option for somebody who, if there's injuries and whatnot, you can maybe rely on him to sort of come in.
I think that's exactly the word, isn't it? Steve Clarke would rely on him. He likes him clearly. A lot of loyalty there. Missed the last Euros due to injury. Absolutely would have gone to the last one.
I think he's one of those players that does really well for Scotland. Actually, I think he actually at times looks a better player in a Scotland jersey at times. The difficulty with Ryan is that he's had so many injury problems, you know, and when you go to tournament football, you're going to be playing, you know, a succession of games in a very small period of time, and it's whether he can cope with that, you know, physically. So I think that's the reason, well, it's part of the reason why I would put him in the category that would be on the fringes rather than an automatic, because I'm just you know, for the boys' sake, I don't know if he could play 3 games in the space of 10 days, whatever it happened to be, that you've got competitive games.
You were both, though, you know, Chris says Shankland has to go, remind me, he was in both of your...
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt at all. I think he brings something different.
What do you think Steve Clarke thinks on that? What do you read into the fact that he comes on and scores, but then doesn't start the next game and Jacob Brown does?
No, I think that Jacob Brown, again, management is about, you know, saying to players that you're part of it. I think if you take Jacob Brown over, Shankland wasn't in the original squad against Georgia. You take him there, he's been with pretty much, you know, all of the squads and never getting any game time whatsoever. I think you demoralise players. You know, players are thinking, I'm just turning up for the sake of here, I'm never going to get an opportunity. So I think there's a bit of man management there where you think, well, this is the perfect opportunity. There's nothing strictly at stake. Start the boy. Show them that you do feel that he's part of the squad. He can be part of it. And give him that, you know, chance to be optimistic about the summer. And I think that was management for me with Steve Clarke. I think it was, you know, giving the player a boost psychologically so that, you know, when he goes back to his club, he's thinking, I have got a chance of going here. Because I think if he hadn't given them any game time whatsoever, I think the boy would just have been deflated and thought, doesn't matter what I do, there's no chance of me going next summer.
I agree with that. I've looked at Jacob Brown. I've not seen a lot of him, but I quite like what I see in him. I think he's a decent footballer. I think he can get you goals. I think
What was it you did like? Because you got a lot of criticism Sunday night.
Yeah, but I think he works his, as Jim said, it was very hard for him because he's been so patient waiting for an opportunity, and sometimes you can maybe overtry a little bit, you know, to
obviously
impress.
In Scotland we're really poor in the first half.
Yeah.
So, I mean, any striker, it doesn't matter who it is, I mean, literally, I had to get a touch of the ball because, you know, Scotland were really off the pace.
So was he on your plane?
Unfortunately, no.
You'd be confused.
My plane's full.
So you don't like him that much then?
What I'm going to say is I've got about six reserves.
You've got him
here
doing the drinks trolley.
And I can probably
baggage handler.
And I can make a case for
it's tough at the top, but you've got to make decisions.
I've picked it, I went Hanley.
Chris, is Jacob Brown on your plane?
Probably not as it stands, but I just think there's better options ahead of him.
Fair enough. All right, thank you very much, Chris in Hamilton. Sounds like we're not agreeing wholly on all these issues. So what do you think? 01419511025. Tell us right now, we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Jim Duffy are here. They have picked their 23 for Germany next summer, but I want to know what you think, if you would agree or disagree with their suggestions. In fact, I think we're going to stick it up, made a nice wee graphic for you, a nice picture of you looking about 20 years of age.
Is my squad up there?
Yes.
Tell me, is Gilmour in the midfield?
So you're now thinking you've left him out?
I'm thinking producer John's left him out.
Oh my goodness. But by accident, though. By accident, though.
By accident.
You want him in.
But, yeah.
Right, let the record show that Billy Gilmour is in Gordon Dale's squad.
No, again, he's got 23. That would make it 24. You need to take him to do it then.
No, he's in. You're fine. When we were going through your list, Jim Duffy, we didn't realise. You left Lewis Ferguson out of the squad.
Yeah, I know.
Big call. I like that, Duff.
Yeah. That's big. Why?
This man makes explain big your decisions. Thinking.
Yeah, because you can't fit everybody in. It's as simple as that. You know, there's a lot of good players that are not in the squad. I mean, Greg Taylor's not in the squad.
Ah, but Lewis Ferguson's in all the squads.
He's in the squads, but I just looked at the balance of the midfield and I think he would be... He's a terrific young player. He's doing well in Italy. There's no question about that. But if I looked at the squad, I think there's more chance of the likes of Christie and Armstrong getting the nod ahead of Lewis Ferguson. So they're
not all. So who's the one really you've got then in terms of to differ?
Jacob Brown. It would either be Jacob Brown or Ben Doak. Because obviously I've put Ben Doak on, as you say, he's a bit of a wild card.
Right, but you've included Brown as well, and that's why Ferguson's missed.
Yes, because I think in any tournament football, you have to try and have enough people that can win you the game. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I've went for the added front player.
And I asked you to make your own decision, that's fine. Will Steve Clarke take Lewis Ferguson?
I think he will.
So I don't think
Doak will go. This is who I would. You've asked me who I would take, absolutely, not who Steve Clarke. Or is that what you're asking?
I don't really care. Just
I'm asking if it's who Steve Clarke would take. He would swap Doak for Ferguson. Night.
You can make up your own rules. It's fine.
So I would take.
Martin is on the line. How are you, Martin?
I'm very well. Thanks very much for having me on. How are you doing, guys?
Not bad at all. Not bad, Martin. I know you've got a couple of points, but just on this debate, you know, about personnel and sort of who's nailed on and who's not and all that stuff, what are your thoughts?
There are a couple of things. I wouldn't be taking Ryan Christie. I know that's probably a controversial opinion, but I think it's about time that the young ones had their time to shine. I would definitely be taking Lewis Ferguson. I'd be taking Ben Doak.
Steve Clarke will take Ryan Christie though, yeah? You'd acknowledge that?
Aye. He will take him because he has a stick on for Steve Clarke. But in my opinion, if I was the Scotland manager, I wouldn't be sitting in my motor.
What is it about Ryan Christie that doesn't do it for you in this context?
I've been a Celtic fan my whole life and he was fantastic, but just watching his career, I just think... He's just not as reliable as he used to be. That might just be that he's gone through, you know, a spot or whatever. I'm no expert, but I just think that, you know, he's coming on as a sub nowadays instead of, you know, a shoe-in as a starter. So I just think that if you throw a young person on, or you know, the chances are that they'll overdo, you know, they'll overperform.
What do you two think? To be fair, Martin acknowledges it's his personal take. Mm-hmm. Steve Clark will take, right, yeah. Christy?
100%.
And you would as well?
Yeah. I like Christy as a player, I always have. I think he's improving. He's just signed a new contract.
Yeah, right? He has, yeah.
Yep.
He is a Premier League player. Yeah. That's one thing, you know. I know what Martin's saying about him. You know, maybe we're off the boil a little bit, but he's playing in the best league in the world, the toughest league in the world, and he still gets a decent amount of game time at that level.
Yeah, and I think his work rate's brilliant, Jim. I really do. I think he covers every blade of grass. He's got that in his locker. He can get you a goal.
How much do you take into account if you're trying to assemble a squad mm-hmm. like this? Like, every squad's a jigsaw, but particularly something like this, because you can't go and sign a player with that skill set mm-hmm. you're looking yeah. for. You've only got that finite group. And as good as Scotland are and as brilliant as they've done, is it fair to say the one thing that's maybe lacking is pace in an mm-hmm. attacking sense? And Ryan Christie's probably the sharpest out of every. Does that
well, I think in terms of pressing the game as well, I mean, he can play in a number of positions. He can play off the front. He can play just off Dykes or whoever is a central striker. He can play in a wide area. He can drop into midfield. I just think he gives Steve Clark more options in there. And I think when you're only taking 20 outfield players, you need one or two players who are quite adaptable. Not a whole host of them. You need your vast majority be nailed on the best in their position. But you do need one or two. We said that Hickey can play either flank, and Christie's another one for me. He can play on the right, can play wide in the left. He can narrow in. He can play off the front. And again, as I said, in terms of his pressing, he's really good at that. So I think he gives us different options. But I'm with Martin as well. Listen, if you left Christie out and took Lewis Ferguson, I don't think too many people would be overly concerned, because he's a terrific young player as well. And this is going to be the tough test for the manager. He will have to disappoint really good players, which is a change for us, because we don't often have as many good players to choose from.
What about some of the other kind of, you know, to be confirmed, Martin? The guys have said most are yeah. sort of nailed on. Are there any that are particularly interesting to you between now and then?
Definitely. Well, I'm actually going back to, I'm a goalkeeper. Well, I was a goalkeeper a long time ago. And I would give my left arm to have Hanley in front of me every single day of the week. So I don't think he's to be confirmed. I think the problem is that Steve Clark's got a headache. Every single player is capable of having a start on that team, which is a massive difference from, you know, when I was a kid. You've got Robbo even, you know, brought that up on the TV the other day when he was getting interviewed, saying that, you know, the manager can go to the bench and bring on a world-class player. You know, and it doesn't matter who we're going to say is going to be to confirmed or whatever. It's going to be a difficult decision. But either way, I think whoever he takes, we're going to do, hopefully, we're going to do really well. But Hanley at the back, Hendry, for sure. I wouldn't trust Scott Kelly with a bag of washing. Honestly, I just think that... Yeah.
Liam Kelly.
The goalkeeper.
Liam Kelly.
Is that the one goalkeeper to the other, or that compliment?
100%. That's giving him a wee bit of leeway as well. I'm from Motherwell originally, so Motherwell, even though I'm a Celtic fan, Motherwell's always been special place, had a special place for me, but honestly, he's not doing it at club level. I don't even think he should be there at third keeper either, and that's a shame to say, but he needs to step his game up.
It is funny that, because a couple of weeks ago we were getting some calls from Motherwell supporters criticising the captain, the goalkeeper. I think he's always been very reliable for Motherwell. I think he's a very good goalkeeper indeed. But you're right, I don't think right now he's playing with the confidence that we've seen in the past with him. But I think he's a quality goalkeeper that can turn that form round.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Motherwell have went off the pace. I mean, you know, they've literally, you know, really, really dropped at their levels of performance and results, and that's going to affect confidence of the players in front of them, and that in turn, I'm sure, has an impact on the goalkeeper. So I get that. You know, Liam Kelly at this moment in time is not playing at the level you would hope to be at, but there's a good few months to go, and you know, there's not too much. You mentioned earlier on Craig Gordon, but I think that the kind of Craig Gordon's underclap one, you know, will be the first fight there.
Mm-hmm. And then what does that mean for Liam Kelly? Because, you know, depends what Xander Clark's doing, I suppose. Martin mentioned an interesting name, Grant Hanley. So Martin wants him to be nailed on, you know, thinks he should be. He has had injury problems and he's injured currently. Steve Clark is a big fan. There was probably a little spell there, maybe even at the last Euros and coming out of it, would he, I think he was Scotland's kind of best performer over that period.
Defensively, yeah.
He's on my plane. I've got him on. He's boarded.
Yeah.
You've got Cooper out, haven't you?
Yeah. It's a hard one there because Cooper, the argument will be with Cooper that he gives you that balance in the left hand side.
Over this campaign, this group, when it was heading. It looks like, you know, if we played a big game tomorrow, if the opening day of the Euros was tomorrow,
it's Henry and Tierney.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably would be. But I think Hanley there is a backup. Hanley, yes, you're right, he's got some injury problems. But for me, I like defenders with decent pace. And I think he's aggressive as well. I think he's good enough to go and play.
As Martin said, I think that he is more of a natural old school defender. You know, he goes and competes and, you know, he dominates the penalty box. Like a lot of, you know, modern day centre backs, you know, sometimes he's got to be used the ball, as we know. But I think he's probably the best, if you want to call it, old school defender in that area. But it's about balance of the squad, and again, it's all to do with timing. If the guy gets himself fit and back into the team again and playing the regular basis, he could definitely be a credit
to those other three guys, though. And this isn't a criticism of Grant Hanley; it's a credit to the other guys that haven't really felt like he's been missed.
Yeah. Well, Portis
Portis has surprised most people.
Jim, I'm first to put my hand up. I couldn't believe when the lad come into the Scotland sort of a set up. I was thinking to myself, this could be a level two, too far up for you. He's been absolutely excellent, you got to say. He's probably there with Tierney's the two first picks and then somebody else if they're playing a back three, because he's been that important.
On the other debatable ones at the moment, Martin, is Shankland in?
Well, scoring on his debut, Hank, he's just shown that the hungry needs to go.
Martin, you're a Celtic fan, you said, didn't you?
Yeah.
Is Greg Taylor in?
No.
Right, okay.
Just too many other options in that area.
There's no room for him, and I would love to say that he would be in, but no, I'm not. I've got my green tinted glasses on today.
No, but it's quite unusual if you think about it. It's the Celtic, you know, champions, a boy that plays every single week, played every week under Postecoglou, plays every game under Brendan Rodgers. You would think that would be a nailed on certainty for international football.
Just happen to have some world class options
in
that area.
Most people, I mean, even as a second part playing behind Andy Robson, you know, and
it's an incredible
area,
isn't it?
You're thinking that's not going to happen,
because you've got Robertson and Tierney
and Hickey can go over
and Hickey, who's a very, very good English Premier League player.
That's how I think. I don't think it's anything to do with Taylor's ability. Jim makes a great case for him. The manager he's playing under, he's a first pick and he's been absolutely terrific. But I just think when you're looking at the overall squad, you need players to adapt, and I think we've got a full house over there.
Any final thoughts from you, Martin?
Just one more, if you don't mind. I know I've took up a lot of your time.
We're here for it.
Steve Clark has undoubtedly been a fantastic moulding manager, coach. But I think the last 10, 15 years, the way grassroots football has evolved, and the way that young kids are being taught how to play football, and, you know, teenagers, this is just testament to that. So I wouldn't say it's just all down to Steve Clark and his team. I would definitely say that, you know, for decades, Scottish football has been struggling at grassroots level, and we've not been able to produce superstars. And here we go, you know, as been part of it myself. A while back, I could see the changes the SFA were doing at youth level and at infant level, and it's just, this is the kind of fruits of their labour, really, to be honest. So well done them.
Thank you very much to Martin. Good time for you to call. Of course, you can tweet, and if you head over to Twitter at Clyde SSB, you will see the squads chosen by Gordon DL and Jim Duffy, and you can call up and tell them just how wrong they've got it. But in the meantime, let me tell you all about this.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas, with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
Yes, it is that time of the year. I'm going to start a new feature this week on the show. It's called Andy Halliday's Christmas Tree. He revealed last night his Christmas tree is up.
Right.
Too early for you?
Yeah.
Just a wee tad, means it's probably got beginning of December.
Beginning of December. You don't put one up, do you? No. Oh, of course you don't. I'm absolutely wasted in this conversation. Like, never.
Never, no.
Right, anyway, never mind. It is that time of the year, and we know that it's going to be a particularly difficult time for a lot of local families, because it always is on any given year for some people. And this year, with the cost of living crisis making things worse for everybody, but especially families who are already in or close to the poverty line, we're just hoping that you can club together, help us make a difference by supporting Cash for Kids Missing Christmas. Now, to hear exactly what difference your money makes, here's John Bosco, Western Bartonshire Community Food Share. Is a food and clothing bank. It helps families in poverty. And it's actually Claire from the group's going to tell us about a family she's worked with.
We had a family get in touch who both parents are out working and have never ever been in this situation before. The contact is a week before the two of them are due to get paid because there's no food left in the house, there's no money. That was a very difficult call because they found it very, very hard to get in touch and ask for that help.
I mean, in some parts of Glasgow in the West, it's one in two children that live in poverty, which is alarming, and that is an understatement. We can't always make it this big magical day. We're just trying to make it a little bit different for thousands of children right on our doorstep, and we can guarantee every penny, 100% of the funds raised goes straight back to those families that need it the most. It'll make such a difference. If you want to help out, and please do, you can donate at clyde1.com/mission. That's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pearce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. I was just looking through Twitter, looking for some of your replies about the team, and I noticed our news team reporting lots of homes without power in the Glasgow area. Bears Den, Mary Heldrum Chapel. Are you?
Yeah.
You got a little power cut, have you?
Yeah, I saw a bit of light.
You want to go out to the Dazzlers tonight?
I was going over. I was back to the good old days with candles. But then again, there's always candles everybody's house these days.
It just made me think, and I don't mean to make light of what can be a serious situation, and I hope everyone's okay, but it made me think, I bet Hugh Keevans has still got a plug-in radio. He just will, you know, he will.
Yeah.
You know, like most people might be listening on the smart devices, the phones or whatever. His will plug in, and he listens every night.
And it's
Cheap Haircut. Bears Den, Mary Heldrum Chapel, I think there's a good chance.
Oh,
that's his neck of the woods.
A fear for
I mean, I suppose
he might have a wee wind up one, actually. He used to get wind up ones.
He does remember.
He
does remember life before electricity, anyway. So I suppose if one man is used to it, we'd be fine. But give us a text, Shug. Let us know that you're safe. 0141 951 1025. What have we got on here? We did say that we have tweeted the 23 as chosen by you two there on Twitter. Darren Murray's just not. He says Lewis Ferguson's better than every midfielder in your squad. That's a stretch. I mean, he'd be in mine, but oh, that's a stretch, isn't it?
He's better than
McGinn and Gilmore
and
McTominay
and stuff like that. I think if you're up for sale, I don't think that would quite equate, but. I've said before, Lewis Ferguson's a terrific player. I've got no doubt about him whatsoever in terms of a quality of player. I'm just looking at the overall squad and the balance of the squad, and I don't see him playing in a regular basis in the starting 11.
Let's go to the phones where Nadim has some thoughts. Let's hear them, Nadim.
How are you, Gordon? You okay?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good. Just my thoughts, I suppose. I was saying to the producer there that I think in games where we've struggled to kind of break teams down, I know we did okay in the end against Georgia, but that was a really stuffy game, you know, and we'll have probably games like that, the Euros. I think you've got to take someone that's got a bit of something different about them, you know, maybe a bit of pace, a bit of imagination, and I think Ben Doak brings that, you know. So I mean, don't get me wrong, I think our midfield is definitely the strongest part of our squad. And we've got some great midfielders in there, but I think none of those midfielders, you know, none of them are going to take somebody on, beat two or three players, you know, and maybe score a goal or get a good cross into the box. We don't really have the closest probably is Ryan Christie, but my personal opinion, I know you said what Steve Clarke will do, but my personal opinion would be take Ben Doak I probably wouldn't take Christie. In place of him, I would certainly take Lewis Ferguson. I know you just touched on that there, Gordon, that you know that I think you've got to look at the level that these guys are playing at. Lewis Ferguson playing in Serie A, he's an absolutely brilliant Serie A, scoring goals for fun in a league that is much better than the Scottish League. Do you know, much better than the Scottish League. I know Christie plays in the Premiership, but he doesn't always get his game for Bournemouth, you know. So I think you've got to take that into account. I think, unfortunately, as a Rangers fan, I think Ryan Jack will miss out, which is a shame because he was instrumental in getting to the last Euros. I think he was a good kind of
team.
And, you know, and he missed out through injuries. I don't know if that'll play a part in Steve Clarke's mind. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, not just since we're discussing it. I mean, I think Ryan Christie's certainly played most of the games. Maybe not always from the start for Bournemouth. Did get a new contract, but I'm just on about the accuracy of it. Everyone's got their opinion, and it doesn't necessarily matter whether. Like I say, not trying to disagree with it, but just to try and bring a bit of clarity to that one. I suppose you could take them all, though, Nadeem. Or have you got Jacob Brown in your squad? Would you have Lauren Shankland in there?
Yeah, that's another thing. I suppose. I think Jacob Brown. I mean, I was at a game. I was a part. I'm part of Tottenham. I was at a game on Sunday, and he's a brilliant runner, and he runs in behind, you know, and he'll come back and he'll defend, and he's got pace as well, I suppose, but. You know, he had that great chance. And I know everybody says that if Lauren Shannon was there, he'd have scored. It's easy to say that, but I think his record speaks for itself. You know, I think he scored 7 goals in the last 7 games. So, he's doing really well. I'm not one for criticising players or managers, but what I would say about Steve Clarke is I think he's too loyal to some players. And I get why he's loyal to Jacob Brown, because as Gordon said earlier on, that he comes to more squads than, you know, so it was Jim that said that he comes to more squads and he doesn't get a game. I get that. But surely, as a manager, his main concern should be the best team that can get us through the group, you know, qualify from the group. So, and Shankland gives you that.
Yeah, just generally, I actually think some of that's overstated. See, if you look at the squad, the way it's evolved, look at that night in Serbia, which wasn't that long ago, qualifying for that. You could run through the lot of them, Declan Gallagher and Considine and McBurney and Griffiths. And so I feel the loyalty thing from Stephen Clarke's a little bit overstated. There's consistency sort of now. I just wonder if it's overstated. But the real issue, I think, which you got onto, Nadeem, Ben Doak has to go.
Yeah, all day. And Jim and I, that's the one we've agreed on. Look, if you're one of these squad players that you've contributed in the campaign, and you take a young lad and you miss out, you're going to be extremely disappointed. Of course you are. But I think for Steve Clarke to look at it, you're going to look at a tournament, you might need something just that little bit different. Mm-hmm. He brings great energy. He'll play with no fear whatsoever. He's another, 7 months down the line before we get to Euros, whatever it may be. Another bit of experience. He's training with Liverpool. He's in the first team squad. The boy's just oozing with confidence. But I just believe that he can give us something a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, we had a chat on here a few years ago when I was ranting on about Billy Gilmour and, you know, wanting him in the squad long before he was a regular part of the kind of Chelsea first team squad at that particular time. And I just think sometimes we wait too long, not too long, but, you know, we're a wee bit, you know, careful rather than put our talented young players ahead of the pack and say, right, he's a terrific player. He's in the Liverpool squad, first team squad. He's training with them. He's getting a reasonable amount of game time for this level at this age. Therefore, he must have real quality. And I'm with Gordon. I think he is a wild card. I understand that. He gives you direct pace. He gives you that type of player that Nadeem is talking about there. It can go up to opponents, go by them. Something that we don't have. And I think that's the reason why. And I think
because it's just one, though, isn't it? Because you would would say, oh, "Look, well, you know, we don't play wingers, Steve Clarke. So therefore, fine, you don't take two or three because you're right. You know, we don't play the system. But I've even had a look at him in his early stages. You could probably just play him off. You know, in that Linden Dyke.
I think a lot of people do think he will eventually play like a 10, like a 10, or even as a striker. But they tend to think maybe a 10.
Well, the Liverpool way is those kind of three. Yeah. You know, what is Mo Salah? Is he a striker? He's not a winger. In the
exactly. Well,
sense.
I think when they look at the Sky stats, they always put him as a midfielder. You know, because he's in that 4-3-3 position. But he's got, was it 200 goals? So I just think he gives us that wee bit of star quality that we maybe don't have in that particular area of the pitch. We're thin in that area of the pitch. As far as the rest of the squad goes, it's about, football's about evolution. You know, your squad evolves. You look at players, some players do well for you for a period of time, and then other players come to the fore or overtake them. And, you know, there has to be room for talented young players. Listen, it could be Lewis Ferguson, who's a talented young player. It could be Ben Doak. It could be someone else might emerge over the next 6-7 months. But, yeah, I think that he is one that we could give an opportunity, because we'll have, was it three friendlies, I think, before we go? Three, possibly four friendlies. Yeah. So the perfect opportunity for me to give him international recognition in these games and see how he fits in, not just to the team. It's so important for Steve Clarke that he fits in
to the shape.
To the environment. Yeah, to the environment within the group.
Do you read anything into the fact that this doubleheader was, obviously not meaningless, far from it, but the qualification was done? Do you read anything into the fact that, you know, he wasn't called up in this squad? Would that have been a chance to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Would have been a chance to do that, but also would have been a chance to play Lauren Shanlon some more minutes, and he never did that either. So when I talk about loyalty, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I appreciate you saying that it's more consistency, and I get that. But, you know, there was a chance to play Lauren Shanlon, you know, maybe give him a full half, 45 minutes, and he never did that. So my personal view is I would take Ben Doak, but I don't think Steve Clarke
will. Oh, you don't think he will?
I don't think he'll take him, no.
I don't think he will either.
No?
No, I agree with
him.
Really? Yeah.
All right, okay.
I would certainly take him, but I don't think Steve Clarke will, because I think Steve Clarke, we're not saying loyal, but I think he looks at the two picks that probably we're trying to guess, and I think he'll probably go for guys
Look, maybe I'm being pedantic, because he clearly is loyal, and that's all Nadeem was trying to say. I just mean that if you look, the squad has evolved a number of times since
if everybody's since he took fit, over. The current squad that's there just now, I don't think, sadly, if somebody misses out through injury or has an issue near the time, then they may well, of course, opportunities for him and not one or two other players.
Thank you, Nadeem. Some good points, well made. It's that time of the night already, though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025, and you have to call before the end of the news if you want to play, so let's hear from you.
The winning team, all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here. If you head over to Twitter at Clyde SSB, you can see the 23 that they've chosen to be on the plane for Germany. And of course, they'll have something that you disagree with. So why not send us a tweet, give us a call. If you do want to move the discussion on to something more club domestic football related, we are absolutely here for that as well. 01419511025. So get your calls in. Before we do that, though, the highlight of most evenings on here, let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. Who do we have last night? Easy win for Andy Halliday last night. But they two are a bit, they kind of know it all.
You need to split them up.
Halliday and Hannah. A bit boring, really. Yeah. A bit geeky, the two of them. Really need to get out of
minus one.
He's going to minus two, whether he likes it or not, at some point in the future. Tonight, Callum in Edinburgh is going to play. How's it going, Callum?
Hi, I'm good, thanks, Gordon. Yeah, you?
Yeah, not bad. Have you ever played before?
I have, yeah.
How did it go?
Yeah, beat you. I just edged out Hugh Keevans a wee while ago. It was last season, so.
Good, I mean, he's very beatable, so he'll give a little bit of credit, but not too much. Right, if it's heads, you will take on Jim Duffy. Tails, Gordon DL. Actually worried about you tonight. More than normal. How are you feeling?
Well, my throat's killing me.
Because you're not well, and you're prone to a lapse in concentration or two on Beat the Pundit as it is. And you're not well.
Big time. This could be the easiest victory. Calm.
Good man's underway. I'll give him a break.
I know he is. Gregor had tweeted in during the break there to say, ask DL if he enjoyed his Blue Lagoon on Saturday. He had half of it on his face. You were spotted. So wee chippy, did you?
Oh, I did.
What did you go for?
I went fish. All day.
Just always?
Always.
Salt and vinegar?
Yes.
Brown sauce?
No pickle.
Any sauce?
No.
None?
No.
So what did you just did? You had like the grease all over your face then, according to Gregor?
Yeah, I was. I was enjoying that, I've got to say.
Listen, that's the life in the fast lane of a celebrity in Glasgow in the West. You cannot tuck into a fish supper in the city centre without our listeners spotting you.
I'm not caring because I was starving. There were threes all wiring into our chippies.
But listen, you can't. This show, you forget the reach, the power, the influence.
Oh, I know, I can't tell you about my journey, my train journey.
I was in St Andrews at the weekend, and sleepy little St Andrews.
Life of a celebrity.
And at one point, a guy stood up in his chair in the pub and just chanted the Super Scoreboard theme tune over and over and over again. That was my cue to leave at the Gutter Road. It's far too much. Anyway, right, Callum heads, it's Jim Duffy tails, it will be Gordon DL, under the weather he may be, and it is the coin cares not for your health status. Yeah, it's tails, it's Gordon up against Callum. So what we'll do is give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to, and that means it's just you and I, Callum. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No bother.
Right, let's do it then. Your time starts now. Derek Adams was at which club before returning to Ross County?
Morecambe.
Which St Mirren player came off the bench for Northern Ireland last night?
McLennan.
Who were the last Edinburgh side to win the Scottish Cup?
Hibernian.
Who was the last player to be sent off for Celtic in the league?
Joe Hart.
Which Welsh side progressed to the semis of the Trust Trophy at the weekend?
Pass.
Who's got more Rangers goals, Morelos or Boyd?
Boyd.
Who went top of Scottish League 2 at the weekend?
Dennis Muir.
Let's bring Gordon DL back.
Trouble.
Callum's your worst nightmare on a night like this. Okay. On any night, but particularly when you're feeling a bit.
Right,
you know,
go.
I think they're no bad, mate.
A bit rough.
Of course, you.
30 seconds starting now. Derek Adams was at which club before returning to Ross County?
Morecambe.
Which St Mirren player came off the bench for Northern Ireland last night?
Oh, pass.
Who were the last Edinburgh side to win the Scottish Cup?
Hibs.
Who was the last player to be sent off for Celtic in the league?
Cam McGregor.
Which Welsh side progressed to the semis of the Trust Trophy at the weekend?
Airbus.
Who scored more goals for Rangers, Morelos or Boyd?
Boyd.
Who went top of Scottish League 2 at the weekend?
Falkirk.
Falkirk's not in League 2.
No, they're in League 1.
Callum, you must have done enough. You must have.
Who was it, Dumbarton or Stirling?
Head.
It's Denny. None of them. Callum, how are you feeling? You must be confident.
Relatively, you never rule out when you're
Callum, stopped. Listen, you can dive in two-footed all you want, you'll be fine. Derek Adams, Morecambe, you both got it, one each. I can't give you it, Callum, it was close, but it wasn't right. Connor McMenamin, I think he said like McClelland or something.
Oh, unlucky, Callum.
So it is one all.
I'd have given you that.
I mean, I don't know the last time we had a Hibs fan on Beat the Pundit. And then the next question, who's the last Edinburgh side to win the Scottish
Cup?
Who's
a Hibs fan?
Yeah. 2016. But...
yeah, you got it as well, though. So we're still level. Who was the last player to be sent off for Celtic in the league? This is when I knew Callum was a player because he's a Hibs fan.
Right, hold on.
But he still knew this.
Let me think who that was.
Joe Hart against Livy. Just a couple of weeks
ago. Did Callum get that? Give him the ball for that.
Fair enough. Airbus is the only Welsh team you know, so
TNS.
I get why you put it, but it was TNS.
And Callum get that?
No. Is this going to be the year that we have the humiliation of a Welsh team winning the Trust Trophy?
Winning the Scottish Trust Trophy.
I was unlucky with Airbus there, I thought. Good guess.
You both went Chris Boyd. It's Alfredo Morelos, apparently. Surprised at that, I must admit.
More goals than Chris Boyd.
Yeah, I must admit.
Chris Boyd no goal over 200 goals or something like that?
I'm surprised. I wonder if that's just...
Morelos is Europe.
Would there be his goals at Kelly as well?
No, it's four Rangers anyway. You both went the same answer, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, possibly, yeah, you're right.
I'm going to... and Stenhouse Muir and Callum got that. You got to hold your hands up. Callum is a phenomenal performer.
Listen, I'm not too disappointed with that. Stenhouse Muir. When they go in that gym, would you?
Nah, I thought it was Peterhead.
Nah, well done, Callum.
It was a...
You got me in a bad night. Phone back in.
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you.
4-2 win. Well done, Callum. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking about the Hibs when domestic stuff comes back?
Aye, to be fair, I've kind of been at more Scotland games than Hibs recently, so I was kind of hoping more to talk about them.
Well, listen, carry on then. Who's on your plane for Germany and who's not? You don't need to run through them all, but what are your main thoughts?
In terms of the squad that kind of... is in place just now. I think that sadly Ryan Jack will probably come out. Wouldn't really make too many other. I don't know about, I think it's Xander Clark and Jacob Brown have maybe played themselves more out than in. But it was an amazing campaign. Glad to go to managed to make it to all of the qualifying games, home and away. So some amazing memories.
Home and away.
Yeah,
superb.
Callum, is Ryan Porty a surprise here? Do you think he was going to always going to be as, you know, as consistent as he's shown in a Scotland jersey? I'm talking about.
I mean, I know that folk will think that I'm biased, but I thought he always had it. His temperament was obviously quite questionable, but I think he always had the, you know, the ability. It's weird to think that he actually came into it as, did he only make the one appearance against Ukraine before this campaign? So
And then played every competitive. He played every competitive game, didn't he? Up to the other night when things were changed.
He's been phenomenal as well. I literally think that just about every member of the squad contributed, even like. Some like Liam Cooper came on against Norway and was really good away from home. So, what a campaign! Amazing memories.
Yeah, let's not forget the 8 minutes that Dominic Hayam got in Oslo. There you go. That'll be the trivia question from this campaign. Mm. Not got him on the plane, do you?
No.
Away days are always better, Callum. I take it nothing tops Oslo since you were there at the mall.
I mean, Georgia was pretty good as well, because the home fans were really volatile. Like, it was horrendous there. We were getting coins chucked everywhere.
Oh, really?
Me and my pal got scorned by a pint, but, ended up being well worth it when Shankle put in the equaliser.
Yeah, well done.
Spain at home, though, how does that compare to Norway away?
I think in Norway, two minutes in Norway, I think it's probably the best ever. I think that the only way that would have been beaten had been held on against England after the Griffiths three kicks. But, you know, that obviously has a sour taste in the mouth because of how that finished. But, the Norway games is unparalleled for me. So, yeah, brilliant.
I'm not going to ask Gordon Dyer what his favourite 2 minutes is.
No, absolutely not. 01419511105. Yeah, I mean, listen, that wasn't great for you and beat the pundit. My highlight, actually, and your colleague Roger Hanna, you know he doesn't let anything slip by. You did suggest that Ryan Strain came on for Northern Ireland. He did play international football today, but for Australia, which is a wee bit further away than Northern Ireland.
I thought, do you know what I was very pleased with tonight? My Airbus one.
It was wrong.
I know, but it was a good guess.
You brought a Welsh team.
Only Welsh team I know.
Thanks to Callum, by the way. He's won the sign ball as well. You can tweet us as well if you two spotted Gordon Dale eating fried food at the weekend. Or like Moan the Jags, great show, guys. If the likes of Harvey Barnes or Anthony Gordon picked Scotland, who would they get in the squad ahead of Brown and Shankland? I doubt either will happen, but we need the best players in these tourneys. Get big Brian Graham in the team. Now, we know who Moan the Jags 1971 supports. With no disrespect to Brian Graham, we'll assume that one was a bit of tongue-in-cheek. How fascinating would it be if between now and the summer, Harvey Barnes and or Anthony Gordon, for example, decided they fancied it?
Well, there's a major tournament coming up and all players want to enhance their careers and their egos. So they might think, well, there's no chance of making an England squad. There is a chance of getting the Scotland squad. So all of a sudden,
Steve Clark,
I'll learn the words to the Proclaimers 500 miles.
I know they're fantastic footballers, but Steve Clark, the sort of manager, would open his arms to that.
I think the people are tweeting in or saying there about getting the best players. And I suppose if Anthony Gordon did develop, I know he's playing strike at this moment in time because of the injuries to Callum Wilson and Isak. So he is playing up there and he is very, very quick and very direct. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you're playing for a club like at Newcastle at that level, and if you were playing on a regular basis, you would have to say it would be very difficult to rule him out.
I mean, I think Gareth Southgate not saying, you know, he's close to call-up. He's only 22. You wonder what his thoughts are in terms of England future. Harvey Barnes is 25. He actually has an England cap, though, just the one. What's the word I'm looking for? Sort of, I don't know, morally, that's a bit strong. It's a bit over the top. Would you be comfortable with it?
Did Angus Gunn not at one time turn the opportunity down and change his mind? And I think that, you know, that he's probably not the only player over the course of, you know, choices to play for a country.
My point is Steve Clark going to have a look at what's happened here through these campaigns, the guys that have turned up every single one of the games, international games, and then look at two guys who, let's face it, terrific talents, I totally agree with, great players, and basically they pick that they want to go to the Euros.
You think it's like the timing of it?
Yeah.
Like to... So it becomes a bigger deal if they suddenly swoop in at the last,
yeah,
the last minute, between now and then.
Two seats in the plane, in they go, and well, two people have been left out.
Well, maybe they could argue the other side is that, why didn't you pick me when you knew I was available for Scotland months ago? Why did you not pick me then?
You have to imagine some of it's kind of on their terms, no?
Well, we don't know.
Well, I mean, another one who presumably, I don't know if bridges are burnt or whatever, but I mean, Elliot Anderson, who's played for the 21s,
yeah,
and he did get named in a squad, pulled out. Reports that he didn't like the training, all that sort of stuff. It does seem like, well, put it this way, if Steve Clark could have had Anthony Gordon five squads ago, I feel like he would have done it, no?
Yeah, but why would they then, though, just come out and say, listen, we approached Anthony, he decided that he's not decided where he wants to lie, so at this moment in time, I'm going to focus on the guys who do want to play for Scotland. I thought there's any matter with that, and then if a couple of months down the line, he decides, you know, he wants to play for England, or if he wants more time, then fair enough, you know what I mean? Listen, it is big decisions, and I think you kind of split loyalties. I mean, if you're, you know, father or grandfather was Scottish or English, whatever, I mean, you moved down south, you're going to get brought that way, you're going to be schooled that way, you're going to be in the system, in the English system, and then maybe further down the line, you've still got a little bit of feeling for, you know, Scotland or whatever else. So I think it can change, and you can change as you get a wee bit older.
Every case,
I think Scott McTominay done that as well.
Say, every case is different, so you can't broad brush them all, but I do remember elements of this discussion when Scott McTominay got called up, and now he is... in everybody's mind, the player of the campaign.
Yeah.
Angus Gunn, we're all very glad, I think, that it happened, even though I think he said before and he liked some tweet about Scotland getting knocked out or whatever it was.
I think Lyndon Dykes, absolutely stated he was Australian and he wasn't Scottish, you know, at all. You know, at one point, and then again, Jane, so I think
is it the timing?
It's the timing for me. And that's why I think that Steve Clark would probably have taken thoughts in that.
Could you, I don't know, maybe to some people this doesn't matter at all. You know, you've got your principles and you're sticking to it. I suppose, though, the better the player. That the more flexible your principles might be. That's just the nature of football.
But Steve Clark and the Scotland team, it's very well known about this group of guys. And you said that about young Ben Dulk. Mm-hmm. He needs to see if he fits into this squad, this environment. Of course he does. So I don't think Steve Clark's the kind of guy that's going to, as much as these boys are terrific footballers, I don't think he's going to upset that group.
Yeah,
I think he would look at the situation, but I don't know if he would do it.
There's another element to add to this then. What do you think? If Anthony Gordon or the likes Harvey Barnes declared themselves, would they go in your European squad? Get your calls in on that. Robert is in Knightswood. I thought we were going to speak to Robert. He's just dropped off. So Robert, give us a call back. If you can, and if you want to switch focus to domestic football, this could be a good time to do that. 01419511025. Let me tell you about this first. The call went to Five Rings on today's Make Me a Winner. If you play, answer within Five Rings, say Make Me a Winner straight away to get the cash straight away. We could make you the winner of £140,000. Just imagine the style in which you would go to the Euros if you won that. That's when we make
fish suppers
call.
You can get with that.
No,
not many nowadays. Honestly,
you're right.
If you win, you'll have the cash in the bank straight away. Just imagine Black Friday sales, Euros, Christmas, cost of living crisis, whatever it is. That money could go to good use. If you want to win, you need to be in the draw, though. So we have teamed up with our stations across the UK to bring you this incredible prize. And if you want involved, text YES to 61025. It's £2 to text plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and the entries since Kate won on Monday have rolled over. All the other rules for this network competition are online, so if you get the call from us after 3pm tomorrow, Wednesday the 21st, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away to win the £140,000. Text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you want to switch focus to domestic football rather than the international stuff, this might be a good time to do so. I know it's only Tuesday and we've got a bit of time to go, but still, I know lots of you out there chomping at the bit for the return of the SPFL Scottish Cup this weekend as well, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
So get your calls in, please, whilst we give the guys this question.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in seven colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Tough one this, I'm afraid. And it's this guy, if he's going to send questions in. No, no. You know that parody account of yours, Gordon DL's unusually large nose, who sent this in. Can you name the last five non-British or Irish goalkeepers to play for Celtic and Rangers? So five each. Can you name the last five non-British or Irish goalkeepers to play for Celtic and Rangers?
Non-British
or Irish, yep. I like you to nudge Jim Duffy.
Seagrass.
Yes, Benjamin Seagrass.
Seagrass.
The good thing for you is I won't even ask you where they're from, because that will just confuse
Belgium,
things.
Norway.
No, Switzerland.
Poland,
but anyway.
Switzerland.
Right neck of the woods. You were at least close on that.
Is it five each for Rangers Celtic, or just five in total?
So five for Rangers, five for Celtic, ten overall.
Right, okay, so five. Celtic, Rangers.
wow. I thought you'd get more than this off the bat.
Give us a couple of minutes.
No,
we'll get a few. Just to take a wee bit of time to get the
eras. Famous, like some of them are like fringe, you know, backup goalies or whatever. But there's a Rangers one here that's, you know,
Stephen Clough.
Yes, Stephen Clough.
Okay, any more before we move on?
Boric.
No, so he's not in the last. He's not in the last five. But you're not like, you're not miles out. But there's a countryman of Arthur Boric in there.
Yeah. What was his name?
Some boys guy.
It's your pal Mark Wilson. It's his pal.
What's his name? Come on, Jim, you should know this.
Played for Dundee United as well. Oh, you two are beyond help. Anyway,
right, you've got the answers in front of you.
We'll leave it there. Fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to hear your question used on the show. Do you know what I discovered today? Today is a big day for anniversaries, because Jim Duffy's a learned man. It's not all about Scottish football with him.
Quizzes, I'm not.
He was telling us in the office, it is the anniversary of what?
What, JFK's today? Assassination.
There you go. He was telling us that in the office, wasn't
he? Yeah, it was.
It's a significant,
60 years. Yeah,
a significant day
in history. Yeah,
in history, a very, very significant day in history. Slightly less significant, you would have to say, with no disrespect. What anniversary is this for you? And I'm not talking about any of your marriages before you go there.
St Andrew's Day?
No. This isn't St Andrew's
Day. Coming
up for St Andrew's
Day. Nope. Today. Oh, JFK is tomorrow, says producer.
22nd. What's today's date?
It's 21st today.
Oh, 22nd.
I've spoiled the whole thing.
22nd.
Hold on. Anniversary.
Anyway, so forget that. Forget JFK until tomorrow.
I've not been that married that long to any of them, so to have a golden or
nothing to
do. I knew it was 22nd, I just didn't know the day's date, that was all.
Anniversary.
Yeah, today. It was your Rangers League debut against Celtic, and you scored 1981 on this day.
I was brilliant that day.
Oh, listen, I don't doubt it.
I think I get man of match. Scored after about 5 minutes.
Fair play to you, because I obviously think, you know, we give you a hard time.
Never got that.
19 years of age, debut against Celtic, scoring. nowadays. You know, we talk about 22-year-olds being too young. You were the man.
They threw me in there in the big stage.
Who puts the cross in?
You were the modern day
John McDonald, Big Derek heads it down.
Oh, it's not even a cross. That's your goal there. I've just watched it back. Oh, for goodness sake, what's that, about half a yard out?
Doesn't matter.
Why did you even head it? It's like,
do you know something?
It's 4 inches off the ground.
I've never ever worked that one out.
So who stands the ball up, did you say?
John McDonald,
DJ heads it down.
DJ heads it down.
And you
stooped.
No, it's the stuff. This isn't stooped. This is like belly on the grass for no reason.
That's what damaged my nose. Up until then, my nose was perfect.
How did that feel?
Well, it's one of those moments. Anybody that's played in that game will tell you how big a game. And I didn't even know I was playing until 5-2.
Seriously? No idea.
When I went to Ibrox, I was told to go on the team bus. I thought I was there to carry the in those days, the hampers. You went as part, and I was excited. And I remember sitting next to David Cooper, and he turned around, and I was still my blazer, and he says, "Why are you not getting ready?" And I says, "What are you talking about?" He went, "You're playing. You're number 10. Oh, that was...
Nervous?
Oh, no, they held the game up. I couldn't get down the tunnel.
Bicycle clips are
going. Oh, my goodness, Jim.
What, are we talking sick?
Oh, sick as a dog.
Seriously?
Sick as a dog. I was sick before every game I played.
What, yuck?
And I've got to say, I always tell...
I think you're the fans who were sick after it.
I tell you the great bit about it, right? Davy Cooper, I've travelled with Davy, and I remember just the atmosphere hitting, right? Yeah, the atmosphere is unbelievable. And I remember going up to Davy Cooper, and Davy was very cool and calm, and he was chewing chewing-gum at the time. And I was shouting to him, Coop, myself, what will I do? And he just looked at me and he went, run, I'll find you. And I thought, that'll do lovely for me. So
there we go, 1981, mate. Does that make you feel? That wasn't yesterday.
No.
Anyway, there we go. Who's this for a smooth transition then back into domestic football? Because Stuart is a Rangers fan and he's in Kirkdonald. He doesn't want to talk about your debut. He wants to talk about Rangers and the return of league action, I suspect, Stuart.
Yeah, certainly, Gordon. But before I go into my main point, can I just say to Gordon, I believe that if VAR was back in football back then, his goal wouldn't have counted because PJ would have been offside.
Can't believe he's taken it away from you.
I thought he was going to say my nose would have been offside. Well, I'm quite happy with DJ.
There is that as well, I suppose. What are you thinking about the class of 2023,
Sure. Really excited, Gordon. Usually when the international break comes around, I'm not for it, although I'm delighted Scotland have done well. But usually, like, I can't wait till domestic matters get back to action. But I'm glad that we've had a wee break, so Philippe Clement has got a bit of time to work on the players. Plus, it gives Matondo, Lawrence, Raskin all time to come back. And then I know historically it's a tough venue to go to Pittodrie, but I truly believe once we go to Pittodrie on Sunday, we'll win comfortably. You know, because I just think this is a different Rangers team under Clement, and I'm really excited for the near future.
Yeah, some fixtures to come back to. We said this, you know, that maybe last week when you two were on, in amongst all that Justin Bieber carry on, you know, was it a good time or a bad time? And you're saying, well, Rangers will just want that momentum, but maybe as a manager, Philippe Clement would enjoy the time to get a bit of calm, a bit of time in the training ground, for instance. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend.
You'd only say it's a good, good break if you win.
Yeah.
Simple as that, because you did.
But we don't know that until the weekend.
But you had momentum going. Of course, I think the manager, he was talking that there was a lot of video stuff being used because he didn't have the opportunity and the time to go on the training ground. Jim will tell you that's where you get all your ideas over. That's where you look at your players. You get a feel for everything that's going on, and I think you'll probably have enjoyed it. Plus, if it gives one or two other players who's maybe carrying a little bit of a knock, just to get themselves sorted and ready to go again for the next chapter. I'm looking forward to the weekend. I think there's some cracking games in there, and I think there's some games in there that managers already need results, and you can make a case for quite a few.
What do you think, Stuart, in terms of, Is it just about continuing on from what happened before the break? Is there anything you hope is sort of fine-tuned or players that you hope have benefited from the break?
Yeah, well, as I said there, I'm really excited with the fact that Lawrence is going to be near full fitness. As I say, Matondo hopefully coming back, getting a game. Raskin, hopefully maybe a couple of defenders, suit or whatever. But yeah, over the last couple of weeks, I'm sure they'll be working on whatever Clement's telling them what to do. More clear instructions, playing players in their natural positions. And I really believe Rangers are going to go up a couple of levels and really going to be some team. I'm that confident.
You have to say it's going to be a test for every club because you play so many fixtures, but just particularly Rangers, Jim, you know, there is that expectation. Stuart and the fans are thinking, well, it's been great so far, no reason why it can't continue. You know, between now and what the new year, it's away to Pittodrie, away to Tynecastle, away to Fir Park, which is maybe not that tough anymore, and away to Celtic Park, obviously. You know, St Mirren coming to Ibrox in amongst Europa League games as well, so it's a real interesting fixture list.
It's an intense period, and that's the reason why we were saying earlier on that I think you would have preferred the momentum of just continuing that, you know, the vein of form that we're on. There's always the good points, as Stuart said, getting players fit and strengthening the squad, you know, getting that availability that gives the manager options coming into these series of games. But it is a test for Philip Clement because he wouldn't have experienced going to Pittodrie. It is a different venue, you know, in terms of atmosphere and that kind of difficulty that comes up there in places like Tynecastle. But taking the game ahead at the weekend, I think this is, you know, probably the toughest match he's had so far under his Rangers tenure domestically. To go up there, if he goes up there and has a positive performance and a terrific result, then I think that will give the Rangers fans and the players real belief that they can, you know, really have a really positive season, because I think it would lay down a marker to Aberdeen that when they come down for the cup final in a couple of weeks' time, that, you know, Rangers are a totally different proposition than they may well have been a few months ago.
I agree with that. I think I fancy Rangers to win that game. I think Aberdeen, the break came at the right time for them. They need to take to stock again, especially after the performance at Celtic Park, when Celtic absolutely dominated them. And Jim touches on a good point. There's a cup final coming up, and I think this Rangers manager will want to lay a marker. And I think it'll be, look, you know what, like the games are up there. Everybody talks about Aberdeen apparently try a lot harder when Rangers come to town. Rangers will know that, but I just feel that, you know, with the new manager, the structure, everybody trying to make sure they keep in his plans, I think Rangers will win that.
Thank you very much to Stuart from Cardonald. Looking forward to the return of domestic football, as I think we all are. It's just nice to have a good international break on heading into the rearview mirror. So many years we had this week would have been. This week in years gone by is the grimmest of weeks. Usually you're arguing about whether kids are not interested in football anymore and whether councils need to open up the pitches and that's why we don't get to tournaments anymore and they're playing PlayStations too much, although our old pal Marvin Bartley's had his say on that this week as well. And why are we not producing players? Why are we doing this and why are we doing that? So it's nice to have a positive international break going into the return of the league set up this weekend. How are you faring on this teaser, looking for the last five non-British or Irish goalkeepers to play for each Celtic and Rangers? Stefan Kloss, Benjamin Sigrist.
Have you got De Vries?
Doris De Vries, yes, well done.
Is Vatteris, is he back there?
He is on there, well done.
I know he's dab. I wasn't sure which country he might have played for. Was Jonathan Gould?
I wasn't sure for Scotland.
I just thought where he was born, maybe.
Nope. Any advances? You still not got the...
I think there's Polish. I think there's a Czech goalie in there. I think there might be an Australian, as I know.
No.
Czech, there's a Czech and a Polish. I just can't remember. I'll get the names eventually.
What about...
It's just taking a bit of time.
A Greek goalkeeper?
Just Barkas.
Barkas. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers, hopefully, next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight then with Jim Duffy and Gordon DL, which means there's still time for you to call, plenty of time for you to tweet. And we'll try and get the rest of the answers to this question. Thanks to the good folks at Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride, for helping us out with the question. We're looking for the last five non-British or Irish goalkeepers to play for each Celtic and Rangers. You've got Vatterus and Kloss at Rangers, Sigrist, Barkas and De Vries for Celtic.
Right, Wilson's pal, Sir Lucas?
Lucas Zaluska.
Yep.
I could have that.
Zaluska. And one there that's, I couldn't quite get the again like pronunciation, but eventually I've got it. It's Lionel Charbonnier.
Charbonnier, well done, which means you've got one Celtic and two Rangers to get before the end. And if you like the sound of that, you think I could easily come up with a question that will fool these fools, it's fulltime at Clyde1.com. Send them in, please.
I'm just looking at the Turkish team. See, Yilmaz is playing.
Oh, so he is, yeah, indeed. Who are they playing against? They're Wales, aren't they?
Wales, yeah.
Yilmaz, is he in a usual position, is he?
Yeah. Just seeing his name.
No, he must
there,
be on the bench. He's on the bench. Is he?
I think he's just flicked through too quickly.
Yeah. I think he is. Yeah, it's been a lot of, I must admit, I had forgotten after the World Cup. I looked at Australia's team earlier. It's like a Scottish Premiership select, even, you know, the starting 11 and the bench. It's absolutely full. And Kai Rowles and all the rest. Ryan Strain, your pal from Beat the Pundit.
I knew he was away in international duty. I just didn't know what country he was away.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that happens, I suppose. There is still time for you to tweet. And honestly, Twitter does strange things to you because, you know, none of you are on Twitter, are you? So it's wasted on you. So you'll see tweets from people you don't follow. That's just par for the course. You know, if Twitter's algorithm thinks you'll like it, you know, or if it's relevant to you,
I
dread to think what your algorithm would look like, quite frankly, Gordon DL. But one just popped up out of nowhere just a minute or two ago, and it's a tweeter called Stephen Lothar, right? And he's replied to, there's a tweet from like a kind of retro football network, and it says, "Who's the best signing your club's ever made? Don't give me a current player. They have to be retired. Were they expensive or perhaps a bargain?" Now, this tweet's been viewed like over nearly 2 million times, but Stephen has quote tweeted it to say, "Gordon DL, free transfer, 308 games, 170 goals, 3 promotions and a League Cup winner's medal." Stephen happens to be a Raith Rovers fan. There you are.
There you go.
Give you a bit of credit.
I'm happy with
on
that.
On a show where you don't get much.
Yeah. He's getting his goal against Celtic, his debut.
He's getting a lot
Celtic
tonight.
He's getting all the love. Is this because he's under the weather? Everybody's feeling a wee bit sympathy for him.
When
he should be under the weather a bit more.
When's St Andrew's Day, 30th?
The 30th, you'll get that as well.
Was that your anniversary of moving to the city?
I was on the plane when they announced it. Happy St Andrew's Day. And that's how I always remember it, because I went down. And the first guy I met in Billy McNeil's office was Dennis Law, and I signed
him. That's not bad company. I must admit, I don't know why we're just sort of running through every anniversary, but do you know, this is a bit more of a personal one. And I stuck this on my Instagram story earlier, and some great responses to it. People refusing to believe, but I can categorically assure you.
I know what you've got to see.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. How many years ago is that?
4.
Oh my goodness.
4 years ago tonight, Jim Duffy, I've had my appendix out, I'm laid up, and we decide, in our infinite wisdom, to host the show from my living room.
Yeah, I've recollection. Were you supposed to go on holiday or something?
Yes, I was at the airport when my appendix started feeling a bit dodgy. I was going to get on the plane, decided not to, and the rest is history, and the appendix are in a bin somewhere. But Gordon DL turned up at my house in his jammies, which was really disturbing. I think we tried to live stream the show that night, or certainly, you know, it was memorable. Lots of people replying saying that they, you know, David saying remember it well. There was one in particular that I really liked though.
Who was the Motherwell player?
Charles Dunn.
Charles
came to
Dunn,
the door, didn't he? Yeah, he just chapped the door. There was someone who genuinely replied like, I don't think this was 4 years ago. Like, are you sure it was 4 years ago? And I can categorically assure you, but it doesn't seem like that, does it?
Oh, that's incredible.
I know.
Incredible.
Before lockdown,
I've
before
still
any
got
of that
those
stuff.
Jammies.
I'll bet
if you,
you
ever want another visit.
You still got that? And, no, absolutely don't.
I had my water bottle and everything with me.
You did? Have you still got the that dressing gown?
No, I've not got that now. Oh. I've upgraded.
Yeah, that
to a blue one. That was a wee bit wear and tear. That
one with a Japanese dragon in the back.
That was a wee bit wear and tear. That one, to be honest with you,
that looked a wee bit.
It looked a wee bit wear and tear.
Past its best.
Yeah, I would go along with
dread
that.
Dread to think where that's been.
Oh, I could tell a few
that
stories.
Dressing gown. But
oh no,
lots of people have been replying saying we should do it from your house next. I'm just going to scrolling through the replies here on Instagram.
My house.
Yeah. So that could be like the next, you know, we could do like a wee tour of the
the house. Yeah, more than welcome.
Who lives in a house like this?
Oh,
I'm sure there was a TV program.
Oh, yeah.
Through the keyhole.
Through the keyhole. Oh, imagine this.
Oh, no. Looking through the keyhole at Gordon Dale.
Because it would be, because, right, on that show, you know, you'd be looking for clues, but he has no football memorabilia, remember, because he binned it all by accident. So he's getting none. So there would be no clue that you're a footballer. What you would be looking for around the house was clues about your other hobbies. I mean, like golf balls and stuff like that.
Yeah, oh, you find plenty of golf balls.
Yeah. And saying he must have the cold, because look at the size of that box of Kleenex in there as well. You do have the cold, you're feeling under the weather.
Somebody's going to pick him as a golfer then.
It was Craig. No way was this 4 years. I thought it was last year. Are you sure it's 4 years? I'm certain.
Yeah, because you're out of that house.
Craig, you're 4 years older than you thought you were.
No, it's disturbing, isn't it? But there we go. That could be a theme for the new year. You know, when it gets to that quiet period, like if our teams are out of Europe altogether, and we hope they're not, it gets a bit quiet midweek. Maybe we could start touring the pundits'
houses. Right. Okay.
Who's out of all the pundits, whose house would you like to go to?
Probably.
You want to see Keevan's man cave?
Shug. Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see Shug's. And
see how many cardigans he's got.
I've been to Walsh's, but I've never been invited in.
There's a reason for just to the front door.
I dropped him off. Yeah. He never invited me in and says, come in for a cup of tea.
I think his Wishart got some sort of like manner. You think sort of like traditional.
His would be a bit dark.
Like smoking jacket on when you go in.
He would have a cellar and everything in there. He would be a bit.
I think you're missing the obvious one.
Creepy.
Halliday's. His will be kitted out.
Oh yeah,
his will look the part.
Uh-huh.
I think it'll be top of my list.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
You think he'll have the best furniture?
Oh, I think without a doubt. I think without a shadow of a doubt.
Do you think he'll have any portraits up of himself?
Oh, bet he does.
Pre and post.
Pre and post Turkey.
This is before we went to Turkey.
Yeah, I think that seems like an obvious place to start.
Right, well, just
no PlayStation if you go to Marvin Bartley's house.
Well,
remember, absolutely not.
Oh, I love the big guy.
Try to think. Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think that's a Christmas
good place.
Let's
start.
Go and visit some of the guys.
Well, anyway, in case you're wondering why we're talking about that, it's probably because it's a quiet period of international week. But we're not too far away. The club football is all about returning. I know you two have got.
Well, you two are just avoiding it because Motherwell's comeback is going to be against Celtic on the weekend.
I'm actually
so you two are just completely avoiding the fact that you don't want to talk about the weekend.
Kia
so
said,
how do you think that Motherwell
that
will go?
Because Kaya says, please stream the show from DL's house one night. Please make sure it's not bath night. I think that's fair.
Nice Wednesday
Wednesday's
come, boys.
Very good point. We will have a new manager, and I know you two, you've. Mm-hmm. You know, former managers amongst us. What did you make of Derek Adams' appointment?
Yeah, I'm slightly surprised because obviously he was at a job. He was at Morecambe. It's not as if he was at a job.
Yeah.
And I think he'd been doing a pretty decent job there. I know that he has a bit of a soft side for. Sorry, just looking at Wales, have just scored there against Turkey, which they need to win tonight. But I think that he's one of those ones where they went for someone who knows the club, but knows Roy McGregor knows him. So it's not as much of a risk, I think, than maybe one or two might have been.
I didn't realise we were so late. We need three more names in the teaser. We're almost out of time. So three more non-British or Irish goalkeepers to play for each. You know, Celtic and Rangers, and it's the last five for each. So we need two Rangers, one Celtic.
I might have one.
Go on then.
Niemi.
No.
Anthony Niemi.
I said non-Scottish.
Anthony Niemi.
Never mind. Right over your head.
Okay,
that one.
Well,
he's finished. Etc. Etc.
Right.
So we're looking for a a Dane.
Water.
You've got him already. Vathrus. A Dane from 2000-2001. There's another one from 06-07 and a Belgian for Celtic, the kind of Ronnie Dyla era backup goalkeeper. No, I think you might need to just start putting you out your misery here.
Give us a clue then, just initials.
LB for that Celtic one.
Bailey.
Yes, Logan Bailey.
Or what do you call him?
The Dane, turn of the century, Rangers, no.
Initials.
JC.
Christensen.
Yes, Jesper Christensen. Oh, this should be easy then if we're doing initials.
Yeah.
LL.
Lionel.
Yep.
Litchi.
Is that milk in French? Litchi.
Lionel. I don't know it.
Letizzi.
Oh, no.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Gordon. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock. We'll start turning our attentions back to the domestic action. We look forward to it. Make sure you join us. Thanks for listening. You can listen back on the podcasts. And you might as well stay right there because Callum is up next.